I didn't know exactly where to go this morning. I've been praying, asking the Lord about it for about at least a week. He gave me have a scripture. I would read it and study on it a little while, and then, no, that's not it. And like I said before, like so many other times, I asked the Lord, and I was praying. I was busy doing other things yesterday, and I was praying the whole time, Lord, what I need, what I need. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? And I didn't hear nothing. And we know God's got three answers. Yes, no, and wait. If you don't hear yes, you wait. If you hear no, you'll know it.
Amen.
So I wasn't hearing anything. So I wait. And late yesterday evening, I was praying, and the Lord said, well, what do you got? Thank the Lord. I ain't really got nothing. So the Holy Spirit led me to look through some stuff that I had spoke on before. And I ran across, and I couldn't find the one I was looking for. April had to help me. I don't remember the last time I did this. I did this before. But this came as a revelation to me. What I mean by that is, I was born and raised in church. I know my testimony. I know who the Lord Jesus Christ was. I lived as being born again several times and raised that way, raised by a very, very strict, as they call it, hellfire and brimstone evangelistic father. And, but I wasn't born again. And the reason, when I called this the believer's authority, and Zach asked me, so what's your message? I wanted to say the believer's authority, do you know who you are? That's the main thing. Do you know who you are? Do you know what you have? Yeah. If you don't know either one of those, then there's no way you know how to use it. And I say this is a revelation to me. Brother Scotty asked me, when he was preaching the other day, it's probably a well-known fact, April reads a lot of books out of the library, and there's no way I can catch her. I can read a lot faster than her, there's no way I can catch her. I told Brother Scotty, 70-something, she's in the 80s. 80, I'm number 80. Well, I was going to try to catch her back whenever she's around 7 or 8 or 10 or whatever, and I went in there and got a book. And it's still in the library by Brother Kenneth Hagin, and it's called The Believer's Authority. And it's a whole book on it. And I started reading that book, and reading the verses, and it's not that Brother Hagin had them, you know, anything any different than anybody else, but it was revelation to me.
Yes.
And then on top of that, I've been taught it at every service here at our church. And whenever I read that book that time, that's where I got this from. What I'm speaking today is a revelation to me. It was a rhema word. Because all my life, I knew what it took to be saved, how to be saved, how to believe in Jesus, how to believe God. I knew you had to have faith. You had to exercise faith. But I didn't have no idea what kind of authority I had. You know, as far as I was concerned, I was just a poor old sinner, been born again. And, you know, I was going to go to heaven, and I was supposed to lead other people to Jesus. And I just had to have a strong faith in God to get anything else. But you also have authority. Do you know who you are? Zach, put up Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, please. It's talking about Jesus. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to whom be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We hear that. I know we've heard it a lot. Brother Scotty preaches it a lot. But, buddy, whenever I read that, it's something inside me just, I mean, it's, you know, it's like a time-lapsed flower that's blooming. I'm just shooing. And that's what happened to me whenever I started reading that. And I said, if you'll notice, it says, and hath. That is past tense. It's has made. All right, Zach, put up Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. And they sung a new song. What they're talking about here is a scene in heaven that John was singing in the revelation that Jesus gave. And give you a little depth on it. They were talking about book. There was no one worthy to open the book, but Jesus stepped forward and he was worthy. He met all the requirements. And they sung a new song saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests." Now I want you to notice right here. It says virtually the same word, "and has made us unto our God kings and priests." Now it changes right here and it goes to present tense, meaning in context with the vision. We shall reign on the earth. Now, of course, we're talking about process, but that has not happened yet. But we're already kings and priests under God. Yeah. A king in a highly honored position and person. A priest is a highly honored position unto God and person. There's a specific reason why the word king and priest is used. In the world, the leader of a country, a king, in the biblical times, you couldn't get no higher than that. In God's world, our world, the kingdom world, at that time, in biblical times, the highest was the priest. We are given two of the highest titles.
Amen.
Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's awesome.
Amen. God.
Now, I know a lot of us probably know all of this because we've been taught it a lot here. But it's what God gave me this morning. Y'all bear with me. I'm not used to this little setup. I want to be down here where I can see you guys. I get up there and my vision's not real good and I can see the front row. I might see you out there, but I can't see you facing out. I like them right. Now, this authority that we received through Jesus paid a high price for it. That's the reason Jesus tells Nicodemus in John chapter 3 that if you believe not in the Son of God, you're condemned already. And God simply said, "I sent my Son, whom I'm well pleased and love very much. A great price he's going to pay for your wrongdoing." Now, everybody that turns that away and doesn't receive that, they're condemned. Jesus paid a high price. And everybody might say in their hearts, "Well, he was God's Son. You know, he knew what was going to happen." Yes, he would, but he's also a man. Now, to put that in perspective, a lot of people say, "Well, okay, yeah, he's a man, but he was God's Son." Now, after Jesus done all he did and you turn it around, we have, you know, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, right?
Right.
All right? God the Father, God the Son. And God the Son, we also have man.
Yeah.
Before Jesus come to earth, there was no such thing. There was no promise. Jesus came to earth to fulfill the law, put the law to rest, and fulfill the promise so that we may have salvation, healing, life more abundant, blessings, and last but not least, authority.
Amen.
Now, if Jesus came to earth, I want to just use your own carnal mind. Carnal just means fleshly, the way that we naturally think. If somebody gives you a gift and, you know, it's something that you ain't got, so therefore it's a gift, it's free. But it turns out to be a burden to you, you don't feel too good about it, do you?
Right.
What if Jesus came to earth and died on the cross for our sins? Now, it'd been a great thing when we've been forgiven our sin. Sin would no longer have dominion over us because he covered that, but Jesus did so much more than that. But if he stopped right there, that's good enough. We're going to make it into heaven. We're not going to have to, if we believe Jesus, Son of Christ, a Son of God, died on the cross, we're going to be born again. But he didn't stop there. Because if that's all we had, that would be good, but we still have to live the rest of our lives. To us, it's a long time, and in biblical and godly terms, it's not that long. But if we had to live the rest of our life from the time we're born again with no authority, I can imagine everybody here that knows that authority can only imagine how that could be.
Right.
I'll give you an idea how it could be. Have you ever had something on your heart that you knew to do that was right, but you had to struggle with it. And you couldn't ever figure out, why am I having to struggle with this? I'm a born-again child of God. There's two reasons for that. One is you don't know your authority. Now, if you do know it, and you have heard it, then something in the line you're not getting clicked together to use it. But that's what it would be like. You would constantly be struggling with every single thing that came up on you to do right. And Jesus says, I read it, I don't remember if it's one of the Gospels, it's called self-reformation. Even without God, if you try to do what's right yourself, in the end, you're going to end up being worse off than you were to start with, because you can't defeat sin by yourself. Number one, you can't forgive yourself. Number two, you can't get out from under the curse of it. I don't care how much good you do, how much willpower you have. And if you are born again, the only thing that gives you any kind of hope to try to do that without knowing your authority is just because the Holy Spirit has indwelled you and you know that'll awaken your conscience. But it'd be really hard struggling if you didn't have the authority to put it down. And then on top of that, you're struggling with your own personal life, men, their jobs, who they are, you know, family problems. Friend problems, society problems. And then on top of that, they've got their family. They've got wives and children. And even if a man doesn't have wives or children, he's got friends and relatives. Now, if you start adding all that together, you're going to need some help in this world. Mm-hmm. There's only one answer. His name is Jesus and his authority. But our authorities are promised from God through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's God's perfect plan to empower us after we're born again. Jesus was the first one. He lived, he was crucified, he suffered for us, he died for us, he was resurrected for us, he ascended for us. And you might say, well, why did he ascend for us? Because if he didn't leave the earth, the Holy Spirit couldn't come. He said it himself.
Right.
And therein lies our help. And now he sits at God's right hand on the throne of heaven. And they intercede for us every day.
Hallelujah.
And I tell you what, just thinking about it just stirs me up. You might say, well, how do we know that Jesus gave us this authority to us? Okay, Zachary, John 14:12. Jesus said, this is him talking. And Brother Scott says it's red words in the Bible. Verily, verily, I say to you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. I'm going to shed some light on something. I was studying this for a little while yesterday. And I've heard the scripture before. I've heard it preached on. I've heard a lot through my life. But I have run across something yesterday that I did not know that anybody thought about. I just happened to run across an article I was reading, and I don't remember the man's name. He was giving his little commentary, and he said, and in his own personal opinion, he said, I don't believe that Jesus meant that we can do greater than him. Who can do greater things than Jesus did? Well, I just closed that article down right there. And I got my Bible. Now, I didn't believe that from what I read and studied the Bible. And I asked the Lord, help me find out one way or another. Because there is a teaching out there nowadays that I didn't know existed. And the teaching runs along the line that Jesus is not talking about we'll do greater works than him, and we'll have the power delegated us to do greater works than him. But it's a, I don't know the right word, like a play on words. Anybody that has a very good relationship with God and his word, he does not play on words.
Yeah.
I want to read you something like that by the Bible in this verse. Clear this up. And it says in Amplified Bible, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, if anyone steadfastly believes in me, he will do himself, be able to do the things that I do, and he will do even greater things than these because I go to the Father. So that destroyed that. I'm glad I didn't read no further on it. I'm not going to.
Right.
Now, if Jesus said this, it means we can do it.
Amen.
And I don't care how much in your own power, but listen, you're looking at somebody that before I knew about this and became a revelation to me, I heard it preached, I heard it taught, and I couldn't quite connect it. I want each and every one in here that is born again, I'm sure everybody is. Do you remember what happened the second you believed? Do you remember? Do you know when you were born again? Do you remember that feeling in here? And when I say feeling, it's not an emotional feeling. It's a spiritual feeling. You can't describe it except it's wonderful, correct? Same thing with this. What does it say? I just read the Amplified. It says, I tell you, if anyone steadfastly believes in me, and I'm not trying to put anybody down because I don't want you to look at me. In my heart, even though I had this in my head and I wanted to do it and I practiced doing it and I said it and I couldn't get it to work, it was not revelation in my heart. I did not believe. That's what God means when he says, hey, he knows a man's heart. He looks in the heart. A lot of people, I believe, walk through life and they don't understand because they don't mean, they might not even mean to. I know I didn't mean to. But it took some prayer, some fasting, and studying God's word. And then God, the Holy Spirit led me to read that book. And there's some scripture in that that helped me. And my heart changed. What do you mean your heart changed? All I can tell you is I thought I believed in my head all of what I was hearing being taught. I practiced it. But there were a lot of times that when I stand here and remember it, yeah, I said, you know I have authority. I put this down, I put that down, but. And that's good. If you want to get to the point, if you're having this problem, you want to get to that point. When you say, I have authority in the Lord Jesus Christ and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ over my life. Let's say you have a problem with your hand. You say, you're healed in the name of Jesus. The shed blood of Jesus is over my life. His word says that I can cast you out and I'm healed and I believe it. In Jesus' name, amen. You stop right there. And you don't let anything else come in your mind. Even if it doesn't happen. Because God's word don't say you have that authority if it happens. You have it. We have it.
Yep.
It's there. It's kind of like maybe, you know, just a fictional story. You're going out to a fight. You know you're going to have a fight. And you don't know what all you're going to have to do in that fight, but some one of your friends heard, you know, they say he's going to need a gun or he's going to get killed. Oh, shit, yeah. And when you start to take off, they stick that gun in your back pocket. They say, hey, you got everything you need. And you say, what? And you got a gun, you're going to need that gun. No, I don't need that gun. You throw it down. And you get a fight in your life, you wish you had the gun. Jesus not only gave us the gun, he gave us the bullets. He gives us the power. He gives us the whole army, if you want to use metaphors. He gives us everything. Right. Everything that he got, except for being the title of the Lord, Son of God, we got through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
He paid for it. He didn't just come to earth to relieve us of the curse of sin. Right. That's the reason John 10:10 is so powerful. Jesus said, I come to give them life and life more abundant. It's all in there. God wants you to know that you have this. It says in Colossians 2, chapter 2, chapter 2, verse 10, I think it is, that Jesus defeated them all, and he has power far above all principalities and power and might and dominion. And every name that is named must bow to the name of Jesus. It's all in God's plan. Ephesians 1 and 3 says, blessed be the God, the Lord of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Sister Tracy might, Brother Scott might say, what's all mean?
All.
All spiritual blessings. Now, I got the scripture somewhere over here. You know, Mark chapter 16, starting in verse 15. You can put that up there, Zach, 15 through 19.
Mark chapter what?
16, verse 15 through 19. And this is Jesus talking again. He's talking to his apostles, his disciples. Are we not Jesus' disciples?
Amen.
He says, and he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. That just means condemned. And these things shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover.
Amen.
How in the world do you think we're supposed to do that without any authority?
Right.
If we're just born again Christians. Now, Jesus just told them to do it. A lot of people like say, well, he only told that to his apostles. Okay, Zach put up 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. No, Jesus didn't tell only his apostles, the 12.
The 11th time.
And this is God, this is Paul talking to the Corinthians. And he says, in all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, what that means is, if you want to put it in our everyday language, is God give us the ministry of bringing people to Jesus.
Yeah.
And then the last part says, and hath committed unto us the word of bringing people to Jesus. God don't expect us to do that. Jesus doesn't expect us to do that and lay hands on the sick and cast out devils and stomp on serpents so that they don't hurt us without some power and authority. Okay, Zach, I'm going to test you a little bit more of a job up there. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, and in him so are we. The right hand in biblical times was a sign of power and honor and glory. Whoever sat on the king's right hand side was very special. And so it is with God. Jesus at the right hand of the Father, and in him we are crucified. It says, I am crucified with Christ. This is Paul talking to the Galatians. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Romans chapter 3, verse 24. So if we say in that verse, we're crucified with Christ. This is Paul again, speaking to the Romans, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So now we're saying we were crucified with Christ. We were born again. We're justified with Christ. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. The reason you're reading all these scriptures, I'm leading you down a path to say that this is God's will. This is not multiple choice. This is not, I don't really want to do this. Well, you do have the choice. You don't have to exercise it. You don't have to use it. But you're going to live a very unfruitful, possibly miserable, not good life, even if you're born again. Right. It says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified, this is Paul talking again, in Christ Jesus, called to be his saints withal, that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. When you're a saint, you're born again to God. You're sanctified. Paul was talking to the people at Corinth. He's telling them they were sanctified. And then he says there, where it says, withal, that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. We are sanctified through Jesus. Philippians chapter 1, verse 11. I've actually got two verses for this, and I'm going to have to read the other one out of the Amplified Bible because I'm just here. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. We're satisfied. God has three great loves. This mentioned in the Bible. Righteousness, justice, and man. Jesus brought all three of these together in one. And we have. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. We're satisfied with that. In the Amplified Version, Matthew 5 and chapter 6. Chapter 5 and verse 6, I should say. I'll read this other Amplified. Blessed, happy, blithesome, joyous, spiritually prosperous, with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward conditions, are the meek, the mild, patient, long-suffering, and they shall inherit earth. Did you hear that? Blessed, happy, blithesome, joyous, spiritually prosperous, with life and joy and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation. You can't have God's salvation without Jesus.
Amen.
No way. Jesus said in John 14:6, it's right there. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. The last part of that verse is, no man comes to the Father but by me. The world don't like that. I heard a very big celebrity say one time on TV, and I quit watching her talk show. She said, there's many paths to Jesus. There's only one. That's the Holy Spirit and the path to the Father. It's Jesus Christ our Lord. So we see we are crucified with Jesus, justified with Jesus, sanctified with Jesus, and satisfied through Jesus. Now, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. I already read this a while ago. All spiritual blessings. Any spiritual blessing that you can think of that's not against God's word, you got it. That's the word, my revelation word from God. Whenever all this became clear to me and I started using it. Now, is it easy? No. Not easy. Sometimes it's easy. Sometimes it ain't. We say that we are ascended with Jesus because he is with the Father and we're there with him through Jesus. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10 through 12. And I'm not trying to bore you to death with scripture. And I know this is a lot of scripture. Sister Teresa tells us and preaches, and it is the truth because it's God's word. With everything that you say, if you have one or two scriptures to back it up, that's good. Anything else you have, if you want to use it, God can use it.
Yeah.
It says, when he shall come to the glory, but to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God will count you worthy of his calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the word of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 12 tells us, I use the other two verses to explain the context. We are glorified through Jesus Christ, because he glorifies the Father, and through him we glorify the Father and Jesus Christ. So now we see we're crucified, we're justified, we're sanctified, we're satisfied through Jesus to the Lord. We're ascended in heavenly places through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now we're glorified. Now Colossians 2, chapter 2, verses 6 through 10. When all this becomes rhema word, as we've been taught, the word rhema to me is my revelation, not just to me, but anybody. It becomes alive to you.
Yeah.
That's what happens to you when you're born again. God's word becomes alive. You know why? The faith word. And I'm not saying anybody out there, I'm not trying to point any fingers at anybody. I'm just telling you a long, hard road I had because it's unbelief. Although I didn't want to have it, I had it. But it says here, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. You notice how Paul stuck that right in the middle of that. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You remember what ago when I told you, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but in God the Son, we have man. There's your verse for it. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and powers. So we're all these things and we're complete. We have authority in Jesus Christ, and he tells us to go preach the gospel. And Paul tells us that in Jesus we have the ministry of reconciliation. Now, I'm not trying to get you to go out. All I'm telling you is what God's word says. Do I believe that? Yes, I believe it. But I'm telling you what God's word says. And then in Luke 10:19, you don't have to put this up there, Zach. I'm just going to speak it. Jesus said, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. Does that make you Superman or Superwoman? Possibly. But God's not going to violate his word or his law. But he will supernaturally honor your faith.
Amen.
You're looking at living proof of it. Does God always answer every single prayer that I send up to him? Sometimes I don't think he does. With enough time and faith, he does. Unless I pray for something that's not in his will. Brother Scott, he's got a saying. And I've told him before, in front of my Bible, I've got two blank pages. And I started doing this almost from the beginning. We've been here 8 years in April. Brother Scott would say something that just clicks in me, and I like it. The reason it clicks is because my spirit grabbed it. Him and Sister Teresa and a couple other people that's preached here, I've got those two blank pages of my Bible filled up with things. One of the things he says, I had to really, really kind of dwell on it for a minute. So God's will starts with faith starts where God's will is known.
Right.
Up until about 6 months ago, I've been praying, God, what's your will for me? What's the will for, you know, me and my family? What are we supposed to do? And God, I say, finally answered me, probably answered me the whole time. I wasn't in the right place to hear it. But I finally heard what you're doing part of it. And just here recently, last 6 months, I know that I'm in God's will. How do I know I'm in God's will? My family, number one, I'm born again. I know I'm born again. I give my heart to Jesus right there on that altar. How do I know that? Because I don't care what happens in this world. My family can go away. My church can go away. The world can go away. But I will never, ever take my sight off of Jesus. And like Brother Scotty said, I have seen people do this. Some others would say it. Oh, Lord, don't say that. The devil will be all over you. Well, let him come on. Now, what am I telling you? We got authority. Amen. I ain't scared of him.
Right.
We got all the bullets. You know what the devil got? What does God's word say? What did Jesus say about the devil? Satan is a liar and the father of it. That's all he's got, is lies.
Amen.
Now, he is trickery. He is slick. I have an old saying I use whenever the kids do something, you know, it's just kind of slick. I tell them, that's slicker than snot on the doorknob. That's what the devil is.
Yep.
But we're not ignorant of it.
Right.
That means we don't know. But what happens is we get caught up in life.
Mm-hmm.
But what I want each and everybody today to think about, if you feel like you've gone to a point in your life where, you know, your relationship with God is just or your church life is get God's word. Get this book I read. It's not that this man is so great, he is great in God, but he's great because of God and Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not all that, you know. To April, I'm almost the best man since sliced bread. But, you know, to me, I'm just a North Georgia country boy head that loves the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, in my mind, yeah, I want to do great things. I want to go up here and, you know, preach to everybody on the street corner and have the whole street block to everybody coming to Jesus. Yeah, I'd like to see that. Not for me.
Yeah.
And I've had to come to a conclusion. I had to tell Brother Scotty about last week or week before. He's preached it before. You know, people cut you off while you're driving, you do this. Don't call them idiots. It ain't right. Well, that became a ring of word for me. But I drive a truck. The first thing I get, I ain't saying I'm exclusive, but since I'm around people so much driving, I see it. Man, I feel like sometimes the Lord has me driving that truck, or I done killed a bunch of people. And I've been guilty of calling them idiots. Not bad words, but mostly idiots.
Yeah.
But now I try to say, you know, precious people of the Lord, that's not using all your sense or something. You know, I don't know. I'm just trying not to talk bad about it. But faith starts with the will of God is known. Now we got this men's meeting we started. Oh my Lord. About what? 4 or 5 months ago, I told the Lord laid on my heart, I told Brother Scott, I said, if you have any ministry that starts up, don't holler at me. I'd be interested. I had no idea if he did or didn't. He's preached and talked about it for a while. And I just didn't think more about it. He come up to me about, a month ago. He said, Lord told me we can start a ministry. Are you interested? Let me pray about it. Well, on the inside, I was excited. But I went and prayed about it, and my excitement kind of just, I know I'm not anything special, but, you know, I'd like to be involved in that. And I prayed, and this guy was asking me, what'd you hear? Every service, what'd you hear? And I don't blame him because he put it in my ball in my court, man. I got to give my answers. I heard nothing yet, brother. And then all of a sudden, the 1 week he didn't ask me, I got my answer. I said, okay. So it all came from there. But the point I'm making, faith starts when God's will is known. I know what God's will is for me and my family. As a person, as a born-again child of God, God's will for me is to study His Word, read His Word, stay rooted in His Word, and be all these things because He gave them to me. Crucified, justified, sanctified, satisfied, ascended, glorified, and complete. If you don't use your authority, you're going to miss a lot of this, if not all of it. And when you start using, you know another thing? Anybody in here raised any kids? Now, one of the biggest gifts I have for my kids is whenever they do something that I've taught them to do, and I don't have to tell them or ground them or threaten them with their very life to get it done. They just do it. That's the biggest blessing. And I told them, for if you know, if you don't have to give me nothing for Christmas, my birthday. If you'll do this, that's the biggest thing, gift you could give me in your life. Son of my father. So I started doing that. Now I know what God's will is for me. And I was telling them in the men's meeting, I told April, I said, I didn't know for years and years and years where it came from. God anointed me a long, long time ago to be where I'm at today, and I just never followed his path. My daddy, I told you, he's a very, very strict, and he was a very honored evangelist in North Georgia and Southern Tennessee, in the region where we live. And he had a heart attack. He was 31 years old. I'd have to go back and figure years, sometime in the early 70s. And he knew he'd had high blood pressure for years and years, but he'd never done anything about it. So he had a heart attack. And I mean, it's a bad one. He couldn't work anymore. My daddy was one of the hardest working people. He grew up in the era, you know, in the 40s and 50s. And he had come from a large family, you know, 8 kids, his oldest son. He helped his dad. They farmed, they worked hard just to have food to eat and a place to live. A lot of people nowadays have no idea what that's like. Don't get me wrong, old people work hard today. But anyway, things started getting real bad for us. Bills couldn't be paid. We lost 2 vehicles, some other stuff. My daddy, with him and his dad, not because they were my kinfolk, but since I was around them, some of the toughest men I've ever seen in my life. I've seen them hurt themselves working and barely even slow down. When stuff started leaving us like that, my dad got real bad down. The first time I ever seen him cry and shed tears, he cried like a baby. I understand why now. Then my mother, she was already working. There were 5 of us in our family, my brother and sister. Like I said, this was 71, 72. My mother was the only one working. I wasn't old enough to do anything except go to school. And I wanted to help so bad. That particular year, we got by on $3,500 for that year. That's not much, even in the 70s. I remember people making fun of me and my brother and sister because we wore such old clothes, bad clothes, you know, school and stuff. When I turned 14 years old in the state of Georgia, I could have a job part-time. I went and talked to people who had a job. They said, yeah, you know, it's such and such. When can we start? I said, I need to go talk to my dad. Second time I seen him have tears in his eyes, I told him, I said, Daddy, I know you ain't gonna like it, but I can get this job and I can help. I'll give you all the money I got that I made. You know, I just want to help. And he nearly broke down and started crying. But that was my anointing starting to work. That was part of the authority as a man that God gives us. And I'm not trying to get off on that. But like Brother Scotty says, faith starts when God's will is known. And when the faith starts, you start getting direction. Anybody ever had an answered prayer?
Yeah.
You ever been healed?
Yeah.
You know, that same feeling you felt then is what you'll get whenever you realize your authority and start using it, and you'll start obeying God. Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong, I'm not, like I said before, I'm not standing up here in any kind of judgmental attitude. I was as bad as anybody. I would not claim it. I wouldn't. Poor Brother Richard. We used to work the same job, and he would try to witness to me on their CB, say, well, if you do this, and we were going through some bad times when we first started church here. We lost our vehicle. We ended up losing our house. We got a house back. We got vehicles. And we had people in our lives. But we didn't quit going to church, and I didn't give up. I wasn't going to give up. I knew what God gave me. All right, I don't care why. I was down. I was way down. Poor Brother Richard said, we need to do this. God's word says this. And he was telling me the same thing I was hearing at church. And I got hung up on this thing. You heard Brother Scotty preach it. Call things that are not as though they were. And I told Richard, I said, hey, nothing but lying. Our pastor preached that. I told him that on the CB. And at this time, I'm going to church, but I'm not exactly the best Christian in the world, you know. I'm not rooted too good. And he got real quiet. He did the same thing for probably 5 minutes. He said, all I know to tell you is you know, you're going to have to get with the Lord to find out. I aggravated Brother Richard. You might not think it's hard, but he's pretty laid back as far as I know. He wasn't work. But what I want to give everybody in your heart today, if you don't know your authority, in Hebrews, I believe it's chapter 4, it talks about God's rest as part of God's rest. That's a whole other sermon that I have talked about before. I have experienced God's rest in different levels in my life. And I'm at the level now, there could be some things that bother me emotionally, maybe physically, but spiritually, the Lord has strengthened me. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm like everybody else, I'm human. I may have to do some extra time fasting, studying, and praying. But I know who I am. The devil ain't got no bullet. I love all of y'all, that's all I got this morning. If anybody got anything they'd like to say, I actually went over a couple of o'clock too good. I'm sorry, Brother Scott. Nobody got anything, then we're recessed till 1.